It's a big deal for most companies to make it to a 10-year anniversary. 20 is huge. But what can we say about the fact that Downtown Community Television, known affectionately as DCTV, has flourished for 40 years. Along the way, DCTV's film and television work has been recognized with 15 national Emmys, 3 DuPont Columbia Awards, an Academy Award nomination, a Peabody, 6 New York Emmys, and countless other honors around the world. John Alpert joins us now. He has been a guest on the show numerous times to talk about various projects he's involved with, but we thought this time it might be fun just to talk about the center of it all. Now, John, when you started 40 years ago, you were already a well-known TV journalist. No, you weren't yet?
No, I was a well-known taxi cab driver. That's what I was doing. I was driving a cab, and we were doing union organizing and community organizing, and we were failing every step of the way.
So you decided to start this thing, and you did it out of a truck?
We decided, you know, it's not working. We can't get the cab drivers to cooperate. We can't do anything about the local hospitals. Why don't we make little films about this and show them to people? And that was the catalyst. That was the organizing tool that all of a sudden things began to happen. And from that moment on, we knew that that was going to be our life's work.
When you say we, you and your wife, Kiko Tsuno?
Yes. Originally, all the good ideas were her ideas, and that was her idea.
But when did you start working for network television?
Network television was the first time in 1974 when we came back from Cuba. We were the first TV crew in Cuba in years. We had hours and hours of footage, didn't know what to do with it, all badly filmed, but it was the first film from Cuba, and it wound up on public broadcasting.
So that made some of a, gave you some kind of a reputation?
It did. Within PBS, the Exiles blew up two stations. They blew up one in Florida. They blew up one in Texas. When we were going up the elevator in Channel 13, there were two feet dangling from the top of the elevator. And I said, what's going on? He goes, some idiot made a film about Cuba. They're bombing the station. There were bomb threats.
I understand that you had quite a blowout celebration last week with James Gandolfini as the honorary chair and a who's who list of New York documentarians, Alex Gibney, Joe Berlinger, Albert Maisels, Barbara Koppel, Morgan Spurlock, your honoree, Sheila Nevins of HBO. That was also the night of the vice presidential debate. So with all those news junkies in attendance, were people sneaking peeks at
well,
the TV?
Well, actually, in our studio, after we cleared the food out, we enabled people to watch it if they wanted. Most of the people were downstairs dancing. We had this band called Red Bharat, which is an Indian wedding band that blew the top of the firehouse off. But upstairs, there were tomatoes and eggs to throw at the screen while the vice presidential candidates debated.
Now you say the firehouse because you started in a truck. What did that mean?
Well, they're really, you know, we're from pioneer days, Lenny. Radio's been radio sort of the same for a while, but in 40 years ago, there was no way to get your program on TV. Cable television was just getting started. There was no such thing as the internet. So we bought a post office truck for $5, put a black and white TV set in the side of it, and parked it on a street corner. We were like street musicians, and if the people liked our film, they watched. If they didn't, and this happened a lot, the sidewalk was empty.
When did you buy the firehouse on the corner of Lafayette and White in Lower Manhattan on the edge of Chinatown?
And on top of Collect Pond. So the misfortune for the firehouse was our good fortune because after 100 years, the firehouse began to sink into Collect Pond. And the city calculated...
Right near the canal, no?
Yeah. And so the city began to calculate how much it was going to cost to fix this. And they found somebody who sort of had their hands up in the air saying, oh, we'll take it. And we're really lucky because when we started... Video was very exciting. There were in Lower Manhattan at least a dozen groups like us, Video Freaks, People's Video Theater, Global Village, and they're gone. We're here in part because of the support that we've had from governmental agencies, but also because we own our building.
Well, you've done a lot of impressive documentary work. I mentioned all the awards, but DCTV is also an educational facility, isn't it?
It is, especially for young people. We have 250 high school students. We did a cooperative program with you in which our kids came here and showed their autobiographical films. These kids come from rough, tough, challenging backgrounds. We have one kid who's homeless, another kid whose parents are in jail. And they make films about their lives. They make films that enable them to really have a voice. And they all wind up going to college. We're really proud of them.
Have any of them gone on to any kind of recognition as filmmakers?
They have, and one fellow who is working at Dateline just won an Emmy Award, came back and was celebrating with us. We populate every TV station in the city.
And I lost a producer to you once. She would walk by your building on the way to work when we were in the municipal building, and she decided to take a course. She became a film editor.
It's true. We have classes every night of the week. And so if you want to learn to do what I'm doing, and, you know, I thought if we're talking about 40 years, I thought we were going to start talking about arthritis and things like that. We're always looking to give people the tools and the ability to do what we've been doing.
How did your experiences in network news affect the development of your philosophy at DCTV?
It really didn't change it. We came from a street background, and so when we relate to somebody, it's not like we're an important TV reporter, we're on a deadline, we're out of here, we sit and talk, we'll come back tomorrow, we'll eat lunch, and basically the people that we do stories on, we consider to be our equals, and people feel it. You know that when you, from your experience, that people who are being interviewed understand how you think about them, and it's helped us a lot.
Tell us about the new documentary theater that you'll be constructing.
All documentaries, all the time, 7 days a week. This is the only place in the country that's going to be devoted to documentaries like this. 73 seats.
In your firehouse?
In the firehouse. The 74th seat would have doubled or tripled the price of the theater because of building code. So that's as big as we could build it. But in order to compensate for the limited number of seats, we're going to make it completely interactive so that we're going to stream the films, we're going to stream the conversations, and your aunt in Kansas, when she wants to talk to you about your film, can video call us and participate in the event.
Any other plans for the next 40 years?
I like this group of kids that we have right now. The young woman that's homeless made a film about herself that is so brave and so courageous, it just makes my films feel anemic.
Well, I would have felt sad if we couldn't have helped you celebrate your 40th anniversary. Thank you so much for coming by, John. John Alpert, who with his wife Keiko Tsuno founded Downtown Community Television, DCTV, 40 years ago. And it's still going strong.
Thank you, Lenny. We appreciate it.